Let us continue to worship our gracious God by giving our attention to His Word as it comes to us in St. Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. And in the passage before us this morning, Paul relays to the Galatians how he confronted Peter at Antioch. Antioch was a very important outpost for the Christian faith in the first century. It was where the first integrated congregation of Jews and Gentiles was established, the first congregation to send out missionaries specifically to the Gentiles, and it's where the followers of Christ were first called Christians. But you might be wondering, why would Paul tell the Galatians about confronting Peter in Antioch? I mean, why is he airing the dirty laundry of his friend and co-worker to the Galatians? Well, remember that Paul was seeking to demonstrate to the Galatians two important realities that were under attack by the false teachers called Judaizers. Paul was seeking to demonstrate his authority as an apostle, one truly called by Jesus to be Jesus' ambassador expressly to the Gentiles. And Paul was seeking to demonstrate the saving truth of the gospel, which was under attack by the Judaizers. So his confrontation of Peter demonstrated both Paul's authority as a legitimate apostle and the redeeming power and life-transforming truth of the good news, the gospel that Paul proclaimed. So with that in mind, let us read Galatians chapter 2, beginning in verse 11. But when Cephas, or Peter, came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face, because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from James, he was eating with the Gentiles. But when they came, he drew back and separated himself, fearing the circumcision party. And the rest of the Jews acted hypocritically along with him, so that even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. But when I saw that their conduct was not in step with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas before them all, if you, though a Jew, live like a Gentile and not like a Jew, how can you force the Gentiles to live like Jews? So far, the reading of God's holy word. To his name be praise and glory. Let's look to him once again in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the good news that salvation is not based on who we are or what we do, but rather it is based on who Jesus Christ is and what he has done for us. We pray that by your Spirit, you would use our time in your word to grow us in your grace and equip us to walk in step with the truth of your gospel. Through Jesus Christ we pray, amen. Have you ever played the game Dizzy Bat, also known as Dizzy Izzy Bat? Children, do you know what I'm talking about? I'll describe it and you'll know what I'm talking about. It's that relay race where you run from your team down to a baseball bat, you pick up the baseball bat, you put your forehead on the end of the bat, and you spin it around a designated number of times, and then you try to run back to your team and tag your teammate, running as fast as you can and as straight as you can. And of course, the dizziness makes it impossible to run in a straight line or even walk in a straight line. And there you have the fun of the game. Well, the reality is that we as Christians can sometimes become spiritually dizzy. We can become spiritually dizzy because of our sins, sometimes besetting sins that make it very difficult, indeed that prevent us from walking in step with the truth of the gospel. The gospel that we believe, the gospel that we love, the gospel by which we are saved, the gospel that Jesus has entrusted to us. Sometimes we become spiritually dizzy because of our sins, and that prevents us from walking in step with the gospel. That's what Paul accused Peter and those who followed him of doing in Antioch. Paul said in verse 14, their conduct was not in step with the truth of the gospel. More literally, Paul said they were not walking orthopodeo. Orthopodeo, with straight feet, or in a straight line with the gospel. In other words, their actions were not in accordance with, they were not consistent with the gospel. The good news of God's free grace for all people in Jesus Christ, his Son. This morning, I want us to consider three things that made Peter and those who followed him spiritually dizzy and prevented them from walking in step with the gospel that they knew and that they loved and that had been entrusted to them and that was their glory. The first thing that kept them from walking in step with the gospel was discrimination. Discrimination. Paul opposed Peter at Antioch because Peter was guilty of discrimination, racial discrimination, which is most definitely out of step with the gospel. Peter, a Jew, was guilty of treating his Gentile or non-Jewish brothers and sisters as second-class citizens. In verse 12, Paul said that Peter drew back from Gentile Christians and separated himself from them. That could be translated as Peter shunned them and put up a dividing wall, a barrier between them. Paul had to address something similar in the Corinthian church because they, when they gathered for meals, they were separating from one another based on wealth. Wealthy people were separating themselves from the poorer people. In Antioch, they were separating based on race. In this place where Jew and Gentile had been coming together in this way that reflected the diversity of heaven and that anticipated the diversity of the new heavens and the new earth, emblematic of the diversity of the church of Jesus Christ, there people were starting to separate based on race. Following Peter's lead, the Jewish Christians were separating from the Gentile Christians during mealtime, more specifically during the agape feast, the love feast, something like our potluck luncheons or fellowship gatherings. In the early church, such times were often concluded with the Lord's Supper. So at Antioch, something unthinkable was happening. A division was forming within the body of Christ based on race. Paul was incensed by this because Jesus had died to remove that very division. As Paul said to the Gentile Christians in Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 13, "Now in Christ Jesus, you Gentiles, who once were far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both, Jew and Gentile, one, and broken down in his flesh." But that's what it took to reconcile Jew and Gentile. It took the torn, beaten body of Jesus Christ, the crucified flesh of Jesus Christ. in his body, in his flesh, he has broken down the dividing wall, that very thing that Peter and the rest were starting to put back up. Jesus had broken down the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, the ceremonial laws of the Jews, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two. So making peace and reconciling us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. That's what Paul preached to the Ephesians, that's what Paul preached to the Galatians, and that's what Paul had to preach to his fellow apostle Peter at Antioch. Discrimination, prejudice, hostility based on race is out of step with the gospel. It stands in direct opposition to the gospel. The gospel is colorblind. The gospel says that all people are made in the image of God. The gospel says that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. No race is more depraved or more righteous than another. No one should ever feel especially depraved because of their race. And no one should ever feel especially righteous because of their race. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The gospel says that God in Christ is the only Savior of all people, Jew and Gentile, black and white, rich and poor. And the gospel calls all people everywhere to repent of their own sins and believe in Jesus Christ for salvation. So any worldview or ideology or movement that pits one race against another is in direct opposition to the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is not good news at all. It is the opposite of the good news of Christ Jesus our Lord. That's why Paul confronted Peter. Racial discrimination was making Peter spiritually dizzy. This apostle, this one who had been with Jesus in the flesh for 3 years, sat at his feet, entrusted with the gospel. This apostle, the leader of the 12, had become spiritually dizzy because of racial discrimination and thus completely out of step with the truth of the gospel. In the second place, Peter became spiritually dizzy and thus out of step with the gospel because of hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. In ancient Greece, a hypocrite was an actor at the theater. And you know, back then, they didn't have makeup the way we do now to make someone different, look different. I was talking to a couple of the elders before the service, and we're talking about a couple of weeks. We're going to have a gathering together on a Wednesday night. So we're going to shoot prayer meeting from a location where we'll be together, and then we're going to have a meal together. And I said, you'll get to see behind the scenes of the prayer meeting shoot. And one said, hair and makeup and everything. Exactly, hair and makeup and everything. But you know, in ancient Greece, they didn't have hair and makeup. They had masks. Actors wore masks. So a hypocrite is one who puts on a mask to play a part, to deceive others, to try to appear to be something that they actually are not. And that is what Peter did when the Judaizers, those who taught that salvation was not by grace alone, through faith alone, and Jesus Christ alone, that's what Peter did when the Judaizers arrived in Antioch. Thus, his discrimination against his Gentile brothers and sisters was not only out of step with the gospel, it was out of step of who Peter really was in Christ. And what Peter really, deep down in his core, believed because of Christ. In Mark chapter 7, Peter heard Jesus declare all foods clean. He heard it with his own ears as he sat at Jesus' feet. All foods declared clean with the coming of Christ. The foods that were prohibited to the Jews, but that were enjoyed by the Gentiles, Jesus declares them all clean. In Acts chapter 10, Peter received a vision in which Jesus told him three times to eat food that, according to Jewish ceremonial law, was unclean. You know, that's the passage that contains every hunter's favorite verse. You know, rise, kill, and eat. Every hunter's favorite verse. But Peter understood what this meant spiritually. It meant that not only were certain foods no longer unclean, it meant that the Gentiles were not to be viewed as unclean. That's what it meant to Peter's Jewish mind, which from Peter's youngest age had been filled with the notion that the Jews were superior to the non-Jews, the Gentiles, the Samaritans. No one is to be viewed as more or less unclean based on their race. All believers are made clean by the blood of Jesus Christ. And thus, Peter went, after this vision, he went and boldly proclaimed to Gentile seekers in Acts chapter 10 and verse 34, truly I understand. Isn't that wonderful when God gives us those moments? I get it. I see it. I understand the gospel in a deeper way. Truly I understand now that God shows no favoritism, no partiality, but accepts men from every nation who fear him. A breakthrough moment for Peter. A genuine moment of repentance and empowerment by the Spirit to go proclaim the good news to these Gentile seekers whom before he would have despised and separated himself from ceremonially and in terms of fellowship and all the rest. And as Paul said in our passage, before the Judaizers arrived in Antioch, Peter was in step with the gospel. He was living in step with the truth of the gospel. He was eating with the Gentiles, enjoying fellowship with them, treating them like who they were, his brothers and sisters in Christ. But when the Judaizers arrived, Peter put on a mask. He began to play the hypocrite and led others, even Barnabas, to do the same by separating himself from his Gentile brothers and sisters. This hypocrisy of acting one way one moment and completely the opposite the next is out of step with the gospel. Because the gospel sets us free from living for man's approval. The gospel tells us we already have God's approval in Jesus Christ. And that takes us to the third thing that made Peter dizzy spiritually and thus out of step with the gospel, namely the fear of man. The fear of man, which the Proverbs teach us are a snare. It'll trip you up. Or to use our illustration, it'll make you dizzy so that you fail to walk in step with the gospel. Specifically, as Paul put it in verse 12, Peter was fearing the circumcision party, the Judaizers, who again were teaching that salvation is not through faith in Christ alone, but that it is Christ plus human effort, the works of our hands. Peter knew in his mind and deep in his heart that that is not the gospel. That is not the message by which he was saved and which had been entrusted to him. Peter knew this wasn't true. Peter didn't change his beliefs when the Judaizers arrived. He changed his behavior because he feared their disapproval. As John Stott put it, Peter's withdrawal from table fellowship with Gentile believers was not prompted by any theological principle, but by craven fear of a small pressure group. He still believed the gospel, but he failed to practice it. Friends, to live in step with the gospel means that we don't try to bully others into submitting to what we believe. To live in step with the gospel means we love others, we serve them, we share the gospel with them, we seek to lead a life of winsomeness, a life of repentance, a life of kindness, and we pray for them. We don't bully others. We don't try to bully others into the kingdom. But neither do we allow others to bully us. To walk in step with the gospel means to stay true to the gospel and the implications of the gospel, even when others are seeking to bully us in a different direction. Now, what enables us to do that? More laws? No, it's more gospel. More gospel is what we need in our minds and in our hearts and in our lives in order to live in step with the truth of the gospel. The gospel is what sets us free from cravenly seeking the acceptance of others, because the gospel tells us over and over again that Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, already and irrevocably accepts us in Christ. We are eternally accepted in God's beloved Son. And God's Holy Spirit indwells us to assure us that we are God's adopted children. Maybe one of your parents or spouse or somebody has said to you, "I love you, and there's just nothing you can do about it." That's the way God loves his children. He just loves you. And though as the hymn that the instrumentalist played for the prelude reminds us, we're prone to wander, we're prone to leave the God we love, he loves us anyway. That's the gospel. His grace is always greater than all our sins. He loves you, and there's just not anything you can do about it. Rest in that. Rest in that reality. That though you have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death, the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Rest in that reality that as far as the east is from the west, so God has separated your sins from you. Rest in the fact that there is simply no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Rest in the fact that you are God's adopted child, part of God's eternal family, that He loves you with the very same love with which He loves His eternal Son, and that because you're in Him, He says over you, "You are my beloved child, with whom I am well pleased." That He sings over you with loud songs of thanksgiving and joy. That He embraces you the way that the father in the parable of the prodigal son embraced the prodigal when he came home. The son so filthy with manure and dirt and BO. But the father embraces him, and your heavenly father embraces you, and he will not let you go. He loves you, and there's just simply nothing you can do about it. So what do we need to snap out of the dizziness of discrimination and all forms of self-righteousness? That's what racial discrimination is. It's a form of works righteousness or self-righteousness. It's that spiritual competition that we talked about in our study of Galatians, where we compare others to ourselves in order to feel better about ourselves. What snaps us out of the dizziness of discrimination and hypocrisy? Putting on a mask and pretending to be somebody we're not in front of certain people, or the fear of man. We need the gospel, which empowers us to walk in step with the gospel. That is ultimately what Paul used to bring Peter back in step with the gospel. And as we see later in Peter's life and letters, he listened and repented. That is amazing humility, that Peter, this established apostle who was with Jesus those 3 years, and he was the leader of the 12, that he humbled himself to listen to Paul, this man who had been the persecutor of the church and who was, relatively speaking, the new apostle on the block, that he would listen to Paul and humble himself and follow Paul's lead, and by the amazing grace of the Holy Spirit, get back in step with the gospel. We see evidence that that's exactly what Peter did. And that is a picture of the Christian life, of our growth in grace. The Holy Spirit uses the word, which reveals the gospel, to continually bring us out of our spiritual dizziness and back in step with the truth of the gospel. That is the good news of Jesus Christ, the good news that transformed Peter and that will transform all who believe the gospel. Our sins can make us so dizzy that we stumble and fall, but the gospel picks us up, snaps us out of our dizziness, and brings us back in step with the gospel. Martin Luther, who came to know and love the gospel so much, put it this way. No man stands so secure that he may not fall. If Peter fell, I may fall. But if he rose again, I may rise again. We have the same gifts he had, the same Christ, the same baptism, the same gospel, the same forgiveness of sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.